It's my pleasure and privilege to introduce Reverend Denise Judd.
Thank you, Connie. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, it's interesting, Connie. I was planning on marinating on some ideas for the next couple of weeks or so, but when you texted, I just thought, well, here we go. We're just gonna put it into action quicker. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. This book, I am just loving his humor, Ideas of Power, and he's just, I don't even know what year this particular chapter, this talk was, but I'm fascinated by how much he knew intuitively, as well as what he worked with the principles. And because recently I have been watching some things on meditation, a summit, and there's also some science related things around developing new neuro pathways in our brain. And it's very, very cool and exciting. And it kind of explains some of what we're talking about today. So the creative power of our thoughts. Most of us are familiar with that, and most of us have played with it some. Usually when we first get into science of mind, we focus on practicing those ideas and placing thoughts, connecting with thoughts of things we would like to create. The simple things, you know, parking spaces and things like that is usually where we start out. But where we are now is we're wanting to know who we are. And we want to know what that power is. And we want to feel that power. And we want to use that power. And we want to use that principle to make our lives more at peace, more abundant, more beauty, more love. So I was going to talk a little bit today about kind of summarizing some of the things that he says in this chapter around the power of our thought. And then I'm going to go into a little bit of the science because I'm just excited by that. So I'm going to read some things in the chapter because I just love what he says. And this is actually was so much easier to read than some of the science text. So he says, we are dealing with the creative power of mind rather than with the creative power of our own thinking. Our own thinking utilizes a mind principle which creatively acts upon it. Therefore, we tend to become like what we think. I mean, that's can be exciting, but it can also be scary. He goes on to say, I do not make a rosebud, I plant a rose bush. He goes into trying to prove this principle and sharing with us or whoever he was speaking to at the time, how it works. So I plant a rose bush. I don't make a cucumber either. I plant a seed. And something operates upon that seed. That's the something we're going to talk about today. I did not create it. If I had to create even a cucumber, I wouldn't know how to create it. So, yeah, it's interesting. He goes on to say, biology is the study of life in the human body, and all the biology rolled into one have no more idea what life is than a jackrabbit has about mince pies. So again, he's pretty funny. And he touches on also psychologists. He says they're dealing with the operation of thoughts and emotions, but none of them know what thought is. And they don't know what feeling is either. There isn't one of them who knows any more what mind, with the capital M, is than a child building a little castle out of mud. Then he says that the theologians in the world do not know any more about the nature of God than you or I, even though there are some that feel they do. And then he talks about how science observes how these principles work. It studies the actions and the reactions of thought and emotion in the human mind, but it doesn't know what the human mind is. It studies the actions and reactions of life in the body, but it does not know what life is. Theology looks about it and speculates philosophically and idealistically on the nature of God. No doubt it is partly right, but no man has seen God. So I just loved that he kind of went into each of these different ideologies or professions and, what it is that they practice. And the one thing that's really kind of cool is he's still saying, yeah, so we know a lot, but we don't really understand the mind, big mind, the what makes the seed of the cucumber grow and multiply and have multiplicity of new seeds for us to plant, that we don't necessarily know how that works. We just know it does and how exciting that is. And so what I love is he also talks in this chapter about please come take our class, come take our class so you can learn more about this principle so that you can play with it, so you can be with it, and allow it to move through you and experience it. And so he doesn't go into necessarily how the mind, the creative thought, the creative power actually works, because we don't really necessarily know that, or at least when he was giving this, we didn't know a lot, but we knew it worked. So there is a gentleman who that I watched his interview on the mind and the neurons and the brain and the neural pathways and how we can recreate, we can create new pathways in our brain, which in science of mind, that is, that's how we create, that's how we manifest, is by changing these pathways. We don't know that we're doing it. I didn't even know anything about what does he call it? Called it neurosomatic mindfulness. So it's where we are paying attention to our body, to our thoughts, to our reactions, and we're in a place where we then can choose to create something different. So one of the things that he talks about, how we have this default, we have a default network that tends to be more negative, in the sense that our body is built for survival. So it's that fear and flight and freeze thing, and it's just part of who we are. And when we were, living out in the wilderness, that was extremely important for us, for our survival. And our brains would, for example, if there was a saber-toothed tiger in this bush, and I saw that the bush was moving, and all of a sudden I, discover it's a saber-toothed tiger and it scares me, we that goes into our mind and it stays there so that next time something like this happens, we're going to have that same response, but be more prepared in how to handle the situation. So one of the things that I wanted to share with you that he said He said a lot, so just give me 1 second to find where it is. Our biology is fear and survival based. Our job number one is survival. When something negative happens, our memory faculty lights up and remembers everything in great detail, vividness, and clarity, and it goes right into our long-term memory. Now, I remember in the movie Pretty Woman, Julia's in bed with Richard Gere, and he was saying some really sweet things to her, and she said, "It's so much easier to remember the bad stuff than it is the good stuff." And I just thought, wow, I've contemplated that throughout the years as well. Why is that? Well, gave me an answer. He said, all right, let's see. Saber. He said that that's how our brain operates for our survival. And that those things that are positive or neutral, they don't go into long-term memory. They're in short-term memory, they're there, they're gone. But there is a way for us to change that. It's when we focus on it. When we spend some time focusing on what we're grateful for, the things that are good in our life. Those things, scientifically, they say 12 to 20 seconds, if we focus on the positive, that it will go into our long-term memory. If we focus on it for 12 to 20 seconds. And it will then start to create different neural networks. And therefore, so for example, if we were doing a loving kindness meditation, we wanted to develop more compassion towards others and ourselves. The more time we spend in practicing compassion in meditation, feeling that, being that, giving that in our meditation practice, we're rewriting, we are creating more neural pathways that then their default is not negative anymore. We'll start to experience more and more compassion over time. We will see that, our baseline is no longer, well, I'm only compassionate if they're, really down and out, or it's like we then can see and feel compassion for all beings. So it's the same as like some of us know about biofeedback, where we can control our heart rate, our breath, that there are things that we can do to control those systems. Well, apparently it's also works with the neural pathways. Great. Excited. So we can also rewrite many of those things to become more of who we are. And the more we focus on it, the more we practice it, the more we experience it and feel it. So oftentimes we think like the body is more solid. So when we look around, we think our eyes think things are solid, and we all know that it's all energy. But when you close your eyes, if you close your eyes just right now for just a moment, do you sense the vibration? Can you sense the energy in your body? Where do you feel it? What does it feel like? Practice awareness in meditation. So, with your eyes still closed, I want you to focus on your right hand and feel your thumb. Now, your first finger. Your second finger, your third finger, and your pinky. Now, can you sense that there's, you know where your fingers are in this moment in time, where you're sitting? You're also aware of the chair you're sitting in, the couch. You feel the pressure between your body and the chair. You can feel the space that surrounds you, the room that you're in. You can see that in your mind. You might see it as a picture, you might just sense it as a feeling. But you are aware. So, when you're ready, you can just open your eyes again. That was just a brief practice of recognizing that we are aware of our beingness, the energy that we are. We also experience the energy of the world. And we're connected to that. Now, the more that we spend time practicing our awareness and allowing ourselves to be in a state of calm and connection, feeling that vibrating energy of spirit, the more we know we're not separate. And the more we can practice and trust in the principles that Ernest Holmes tells us about. So, the more gratitude, the more compassion, the more beauty, the more joy, the pictures that Connie takes and basks in the beauty of all of nature, that is actually rewiring things in our brain And it's allowing us to rewire to that which we really are. We are that. And if our focus is on that connection, the more we will experience that. So it's pretty important to savor the good, I would say. I have a poem I'd like to read. Called Where the Bird Sings Best. It's just an excerpt by Alejandro Jodorowsky. Jodorowsky, maybe. If you want to draw some advantage from your history, you must accept not only this miracle, but also many others. In memory, everything can become miraculous. All you have to do is wish it, and freezing winter turns into spring. Miserable rooms fill up with golden tapestries. Murderers turn good, and children who cry out of loneliness receive caring teachers who are really the children themselves, moved back from adulthood to their early years. Yes, my daughter, the past is not fixed and unalterable. With faith and will, we can change it, not erasing its darkness, but adding lights to it to make it more and more beautiful, the way a diamond is cut. So I really love that as well. It's like saying that, even the past memories, those things that are stuck in our, our default neural networks, our long-term memory that's held on to some of these things, we can go back and revisit and see it in a different way. We can illuminate it in such a way that we recognize the good that it offers. Like I remember my mom, was an alcoholic. She was a hippie. She smoked weed. She drank, partied, and all of that. Shoot, now I just forgot what I was going to say. What was I going to say? Oh, and I remember in my 20s, she and I ended up in foster care some. And I remember in my 20s, she was cooking in the kitchen. I was visiting her, and she just suddenly just started to apologize for being the type of mother that she was, that that. And she got married at 16, so I think she was learning. She was young. And I told her, I said, you don't need to apologize, because who I am now is because of those experiences. And the desire that I have to help other children who have experienced such things, in youth ministry, which I've done a lot throughout the years, that's what brought me to that place. Had I not experienced those things, I would not know how to help others, how to listen, how to understand. For example, like if I was to help someone use getting a divorce, I mean, I could certainly do spiritual mind treatment and hold the truth. Any truth that they desire, I can see it, I can know it. But I've never been through a divorce, so I can't truly understand what they're experiencing. So in that way, I illuminated my past history in that way and saw the good in it. And that shifts the energy in your body and your cells. It changes it all, And here feels peaceful. It feels exciting. It feels invigorating. So it's always in those seeds that we plant. I mean, if we were in person, I would have brought everybody some seeds, some dirt, and I would have said, we're going to take this seed. Now, with this seed, you're going to plant an idea with the seed, not just the seed knowing it's going to grow into a tomato plant or cucumber plant or whatever. We're going to plant an idea with this. And I did this with the class that I taught. And we're going to plant that idea. Then we're going to nurture it, with some sunlight, some water. And then we're going to let the power of God, principle, the law work and let it grow. And we're going to trust that, right? So we're not going to go dig that seed back up in a couple of weeks. Go, ah, why isn't it doing anything? The intelligence within a seed knows, I mean, like an acorn. Inside that acorn is everything it needs to become a huge oak tree. That is just amazing. And so we would plant that seed. We're going to share as it grows the excitement of seeing it grow. And so we know that there is this law. We know that there's this principle. And Ernest Holmes tells us, I mean, I have way too many notes, so I'm glad I just kind of stepped away from the notes and just shared from my heart, because we know all of this intellectually, but the goal, I mean, goal, not goal, whether it's your goal, that's my goal. My goal is to feel presence of God within me. It is to experience the greatness that is spirit, that is me. Just to feel that connection. And basically, Ernest said, let's do it. Come hang out with us, practice, let's play with it. And the other gentleman, he says, neurons that wire together fire together. We can generate new brain cells. It's amazing. And yeah, if you want to know more of the science, I can certainly tell you that we're out of town. I mean, out of town. We're out of time on sharing some of that, but just knowing that today, even though Holmes is saying, well, we don't really know. We just know that it's there. We know that it works. We don't know how. Science is starting to kind of learn some of the how. Again, we still don't know the mind with big M. And we may never really understand all the inner workings of it, but we know it works. We feel it, we see it. So I encourage everyone to play with that, to practice more in meditation, your awareness. The more we become aware of even the vibrations in our body, recognizing if there is anxiety, and kind of remain curious about that energy and what maybe it is there to tell you, to teach you. And the more we do that, the more we become that which we already are. And so it is.